It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. When we're house hunting, a lot of us ask ourselves the question, is this a house I would be happy growing old in? Not enough of us ask, is this a house that will allow me to age in place? This hour, we're going to talk about universal design and aging in place. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is with us on the telephone from Fort Dodge today because he wisely did not head out on the roads. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry I can't be there, but it wasn't so much roads. We'll just say I'm lazy. How's that?
I don't believe it.
I'm a weenie or anything.
All right. Mary Yearns is also with us today. She is a professor emeritus and served as an extension housing specialist at Iowa State University for many years. Her area of expertise is universal design, focusing on the housing needs of an aging population and people with disabilities, and she now owns a consulting business. Mary, thank you for being here today.
Hi, Charity. Nice to be here. And hi, Bill. Nice to hear from you again.
I know
you
the two.
As well, Mary.
Yeah, I know the two of you worked together extensively.
Yes, we did.
All right. Well, let's start with talking about some of the problems that people see as they look around their homes. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of us don't think about this very much ahead of time. But if you walk into someone's home and you look around, what are some of the things that you would see, Mary, that would make you think, okay, we need to really create a plan if this is the home that you want to continue living in as you age?
Well, I've had some recent experiences helping some friends, older friends, move from their existing home to a retirement community. And just in the past month, I've helped a friend carry out heavy boxes of books that she was giving away. And at the back door, there were treacherous steps with no handrails. And I thought, I'm carrying a 50-pound box of books here. And am I going to miss the step here when there are no handrails? So just steps are a big thing. Do you have a no-step entrance that you can get in and out of your house easily, move furniture in and out, push a baby stroller in and out? Those are things that really people get used to it over the years when they're young and able. But as you get older, steps become more of a challenge. And also for young families with small children, it's just great to be able to move furniture in and out, move a baby stroller in and out of your home.
So even if that's something that you're not worried about at whatever point in your life that you are, it may be something to take seriously as you're house hunting.
Absolutely.
How about inside the house? What are some of the main problems? I mean, I'm guessing steps inside are definitely something that people need to consider as well.
You bet. Can you have one floor living in your potential home that you're looking at? So can you eat and sleep and use the bathroom easily on that main floor without going up and downstairs?
How about as far as, you know, a lot of us live in older homes, do we need to be thinking about the width of doorways, that kind of thing as well?
That again gets back to furniture moving, yes. Wider doorways and hallways really make it much easier to live in your home.
Do you feel like people, let's say, you know, when you go house hunting in your 20s or your 30s, do you think that people should be thinking about this at that point? Because I know that very few of us do.
Absolutely, because all of us have older friends, older parents. All of us know someone with a disability who we'd like to invite for Christmas and Thanksgiving celebrations. And if we don't have some of these features in our home, it means that older family members may not be able to participate in the celebration.
Well, and Bill, I know that you've worked with a lot of people who run into these problems as well. When do you think the wake-up call usually comes for people? What is it that usually makes them think, oh, I may need to do something about my living space?
Well, you know, Mary brought it up really well. It, you know, for moving especially is people in their, even in their 20s, you know, when you are talking about either remodeling or building a new home, you know, you ask them, well, you know, how hard is it going to be able to get that king-size mattress down this hallway and then turn into the bedroom? And, the younger people, I think that's where it hits them the most. They a lot of times don't think that, they may need a receptacle, electrical receptacle behind their toilet to have a power-activated seat in case they get a knee replacement or hip replacement. They still think they're invincible, but they know they're not invincible when they have to move something like down the steps, like Mary said, a freezer, and they can't make a turn or the door is too narrow, and then you have to pull the door off to be able to get something through. A lot of times that's where it hits the younger people. They realize, it sure be a lot easier if we didn't have any steps at all. And the zero step entry is usually very easy to do in the planning stages and carry through in the construction. The last house we did was, all zero step entry. And it's just so much handier for everybody involved, even during the construction. If you ask the contractors and subcontractors, would you rather work on something without steps, or do you want to be lugging things up and down three or four steps every day and then making a 90-degree angle and going up and, not ruining the trim or the drywall as you're doing it? There's so many advantages, to it.
Now, so when you're talking about building steps with universal design in mind, and Mary, I'd love your take on this. In Iowa, we have a lot of older homes. Do you feel that all homes that are built should be built with universal design in mind?
Absolutely. With some basic features, I'd call it the big three. There's a whole continuum of universal design features that I could get into, but the big three would be a no-step entrance, living space on one floor, and a usable bathroom.
And what constitutes a usable bathroom?
The most important thing is to have enough space in there so that if you ever needed to use a wheelchair, you could maneuver the wheelchair around between the sink and the toilet and the shower area. So we're talking a minimum of a 5-foot in diameter turning circle so that wheelchair would be able to move around.
All right. And my home fails on all three counts, Mary. And I know I'm not alone in living in a very old farmhouse in Iowa. Let's say you don't have any of these things.
Well, that my first love really is remodeling and the challenge of trying to figure out how we could convert that old farmhouse into one that would have a usable bathroom. And so there are some very creative ways that Europeans have used for a long time. Like they have the whole floor of their bathroom that's waterproof with a drain in it. So you could take out the bathtub, which chews up a lot of space, and put a drain in the floor and then use a shower curtain to have a shower in the corner of your bathroom where the tub used to be to gain that additional floor space that you might need to maneuver.
Okay, so you really have to think outside the box, it sounds like, to come up with ways to convert the space. You've been doing this for a long time. Bill, you've been helping people with that as well. Are there some simple guidelines that you can give to people as they look around their home, some things that they may want to think about changing before it becomes an issue?
Well, the receptacles being it and light switches, if they're going to do any remodeling at all, a lot of times so. Be pulling some drywall off, and now's the time to think about aging in place is to raise the receptacles up to 24 or 25 inches up off the floor and lower the switches to 3 feet and rather than they're usually about 4 feet off of the floor, make it a lot easier. And it's funny, even as even as we're working, you always wonder, why did they have those receptacles down so low? It was always gauged off of the electrician had a hammer this long, and that's kind of how they used to set those boxes. It came from the length of the electrician's hammer, not from being able to bend over. So I'd much rather have that, 24 inches at my weight, especially. I don't want to bend all the way down. And there's a lot of space a lot of times in these older four-square homes that when you really sit down and think about it, walk around the home and do I really use this amount of space, properly? And we've talked with people about lowering the floor you know, it's usually the first floor, you know, lowering the floor to do exactly what Mary says. And they always say, oh, that's going to be too hard. You're going to have a step up. Well, it really, you know, when you really think about it, you just go down into the lower level, the basement. And, you know, you may put a little storage room underneath it to put maybe some newer floor joists, you know, sistered onto the old ones and drop those down and put some walls underneath to hold this new floor system down and trim the top of the old floor joists. You know, it when you do it piece by piece and look at it a little bit by a little bit, it's not as daunting as when you think, oh, man, I've got to drop this whole floor. And it makes more sense to be able to have the bathroom, you know, just like what Mary said, you don't have any steps to go up into a shower. You don't, you know, if someone, you know, is in a wheelchair, they can roll into the bathroom. You know, they just pull a curtain, and if they need help, someone's there to help them. And the whole floor, you don't have all these rises and seams to keep clean either. It's just a nice, slightly sloping floor to a center drain.
Now, go ahead, Mary.
I'd like to add one common mistake I've seen in remodeling older bathrooms, and that is people will decide to take out the existing tub, but they either put in a shower replacement that has a curb on it, which defeats the purpose of taking out the tub, or they make a long shower and they put the seat at one end of the shower, and then the water controls are at the opposite end of the shower. So it doesn't do anybody any good if
that
they
sounds frustrating
have
and
to,
cold.
Yeah, if they have to walk across the slippery floor to get over to the controls and then back up before they can sit down and hold a handheld shower to work with. So you have to be a little bit smart about.
Right. Definitely need to think it through. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. Mary Yearns is here. She's a professor emeritus and served as an extension housing specialist at Iowa State University for many years. Her area of expertise is universal design and focusing on the housing needs of an aging population and people with disabilities. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is also with us today. And Bill and Mary are ready to answer your questions. Give us a call, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about universal design and aging in place, some changes you might want to make to your home to make it possible to stay there as your needs change, or things to look at when you're looking for a home. With me today, our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, and Mary Yearns, a professor emeritus and former extension housing specialist at Iowa State University. They are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have a question from Russ in Grinnell. He says, I need to remodel a stairway which has no landing at the top. The door opens directly onto the stairs. I want to move the door back and make a landing. How large should the landing be, and what is the minimum landing size for installing a stair lift? And I want to talk about stair lifts as well, Mary. But Bill, do you want to take the first crack at that question?
Well, you know, if it really depends. If they want to do a stair lift, you know, each manufacturer has a different height where they want their brackets and that. And, you know, in some cases, this may be a case where you want to get a hold of maybe an architect to help you on some of these decisions, maybe with products they've had some success with, you know, which ones that have worked very well for their clients, which ones, you know, maybe not as well. They didn't match up to what, you know, maybe the media has told them they will. There has to be usually quite a bit of solid blocking, and there's minimum standards, and a lot of times your building inspectors may have local building inspectors may want a little bit more landing space. Usually it's typically, you know, like 36 inches, but it depends on how much space you may want, because some people may want 4 foot of space. They like to open the door and still have an extra foot, you know. So that kind of varies, but you always want a minimum of 36 inches. Now, in some cases, if you're going to remodel the stairway, if you have the space that's wide enough, a lot of times an older home it isn't, but if it is wide enough, if you have the capability, is before you put the drywall up, is line the entire area with three-quarter plywood, three-quarter inch thick plywood, so that you may add additional brackets, handles, depending on your, you know, specific needs. And this gives you, you know, you don't have to hunt around for studs. You don't have to hunt around for nailers. You know, like if you're going to do the bathroom, like we were talking a little bit earlier, you know, line that whole thing with three-quarter inch plywood underneath the drywall, if at all possible, and you can add a lot of extra, you know, grasping capabilities.
Well, and Mary, I'd love to hear your thoughts about stair lifts, because there are lots of companies that want to sell us products that we can add onto our homes to make it easier to age in our homes. So how do you feel about stair lifts?
I have to say I'm not excited about stair lifts. Just a little bit of background. There are two kinds of stair lifts. One where there's a chair seat on a rail where you would transfer from your wheelchair to the seat and then be the stair lift seat and then be transported up to the next level or down to the lower level. And then with that kind of stair lift, you would need to transfer to a different wheelchair than when you got up to the top of the stairs. There's a platform lift where you can roll your wheelchair onto the lift and then be transported to the next floor. So it's obviously going to take a lot more space to do that. But before I would consider a stair lift, I'd suggest people think about what could you do on the lower level, on the main level, to have one floor living. Maybe rather than spending a lot of money to install the stair lift, because they do get quite expensive with what all the things that Bill mentioned that are required, maybe you would be better to put on a small bedroom addition on the main floor rather than an expensive stair lift.
All right.
And also with the chairlift style, you risk falling between getting from your wheelchair to the seat and vice versa.
So you feel like they're not, well, of course, the commercials make them look very simple, but you feel like there are some risks that are definitely involved,
they're both risks and expenses, and I would look at other alternatives first. For example, maybe you have a family room on the main floor that you could convert into a bedroom if you needed to, rather than going to the expense of the stair lift.
All right, let's go to the phones. Martin is on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Martin.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
You talked about the mechanism to bring these things in place and the area of specific things, but I did a calculation once, and the total area for a handicap accessible aging in place apartment on one level is only about 600 square feet, if, you know, with sort of minimum size rooms. But with full 5-foot turning radius for your wheelchair and everything. And so that's much smaller than the average first level of a new house. So I think, you know, people would be well advised to take this into their planning at the beginning of a new house.
All right. Well, Martin, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So is this a lot easier to implement than maybe some of us think it is, Mary?
I had trouble hearing Martin's
he
comment.
He was just saying that you know, he wonders, he said that if his calculation is that it only takes about 600 square feet to implement universal design on, let's say, a first floor living space to make it wheelchair accessible. So he's saying basically there's no excuse not to implement universal design. What is your feeling about that?
Well, yes, that's a very good point, Martin.
So it doesn't take as much room as maybe some of us think.
Well, if you're building new and you're planning ahead, there's very little, if any, cost to incorporate universal design features when you're starting from scratch. It can become expensive when you're talking about remodeling an older farmhouse. That's the difference.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller. Mark is on the line in Mount Vernon. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm a retired aeronautical engineer, and along the lines of your stairwell or stairway discussion, I've invented and have a patent for, it's in the prototype stage, of a powered bar along the same lines as a powered chair. This has technology in it, has a speakerphone if they get in trouble, or it has IP cameras that the family member can watch them go up and down stairs, and it escorts them down or escorts them up. And it works very well.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for sharing that. Obviously, there are a lot of new technologies that are in the works as far as universal design. And Mary, do you see a lot of new things coming out? It sounds like Mark is an innovator.
Absolutely. Every day there's something new. The Japanese have, at this point, are experimenting with robots to be caregivers in the home, to help do some of the physical lifting and caregiving for someone who's extremely disabled, to take away some of the backbreaking work of lifting someone out of bed, taking them to the shower, lifting them on and off the toilet, that kind of thing. So robots may be in our future. Of course, cost is always the issue then of when will the costs come down to make this practical.
All right. Another caller, Paul, is on the line in Norwalk. Hello, Paul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is, I guess I'm the a good example of real hubris here. I'm 66. We've been thinking about an addition to our, we had a schoolhouse that we had renovated, so our open concept and everything, two floors. And we haven't talked anything about any of this. And I suppose it's a very timely for me. So my question is, what's the difference in cost? We're thinking about adding between a two-story, footprint and a one-story footprint. Is there? I'm curious about that, because one of the things we'd like to do is add a bathroom to a second floor loft, which is 700 square feet, all open space, but we'd have to build a second floor addition, two floor addition to that. So we're thinking about stretching out with another one floor addition or a two floor addition. So I'm curious about the cost.
Well, a lot of times the cost is tying in, or the majority of the cost is tying into the existing structure and trying to. Maybe. How old is the existing structure you have now?
Well,
old schoolhouse, right?
The house was 1892. This is before that. It's an old school. But we had it completely. It's got a new basement and all that kind of stuff. So it's structurally new, the basic structure has been, it's very solid and all that kind of stuff. That's one thing that we've wondered about. I've wondered about just having a kind of a bridge from one addition to the next. We have an open, it had, at one end, it had been used for, at one time, for storing farm machinery, like wooden rakes for hay and that sort of thing that people would lift up into the building. So it has a wide, with a header, it's got a header in it, so we could make a wide doorway there.
Sure. Well, you've got to think too, is if you want basement underneath it, or you could probably, put a slab underneath it, so you wouldn't have the cost of the additional basement space, because a lot of times that's what would make up the difference between a single level and a two story. A lot of times when you're going with an older story, even though it has a new basement, things may not be perfectly square. You have those issues, but to bring it back, you're at the age right now is. I know I don't really care to climb the stairs. If it was me, I'd probably just go ahead and, really reinforce what Mary's saying. Keep it all on the main, the main level, so it's all accessible. You don't fight plumbing that would maybe above you. You don't fight, roof, maybe roof planes marrying in against the, the existing house. It's much simpler to just go with a single level floor, and there really isn't that much cost. I mean, I really don't see the reason why a lot of times most houses aren't 99%, universal design anyway, because for the electricians, there's really not much different. I mean, I can't really think of any difference. It's easier for them. They don't have to bend over as much. You know, like a 36-inch door. I've always liked 36-inch doors rather than even 32. They're a couple dollars more. You know, make the hallways a little wider. You know, when you actually walk someone in, you know, to a house, when you say you're going to, you know, widen the hallways, they'll say, well, I'm going to lose too much space in my rooms. But if you actually took them into a room and ask them how wide it is, they're lucky to get it within 2 feet. I mean, you know, when you maybe take 2 inches out of a room, when they look at it on a plan, they think they're losing space. But most, you know, very, very few people can actually tell the size of a room within a couple of inches or how much they lost. And way too many of our house plans anyway, you know, aren't looking at the flooring they're going to have. You know, if they do have carpet, you know, why do we have the rooms 12'6" rather than 12'? So, you know, to eliminate seams. And in the planning stages where the handicap accessibility parts of it really don't really add that much to it, if any, in a lot of cases.
Let me add a slightly different twist. I'm not against two-story homes. All I'm arguing for is that there needs to be capability of having all your living on the essential living elements on one level. So you might think of your second story tower up there, if you decided to add it on, as a guest suite. So your guests can do the climbing or your grandchildren can go up there and enjoy it. But it doesn't mean that you have to go up there every night to have your main bedroom or main bathroom.
Well, it was great, great advice. I sure appreciate it. I have one question that you raised. It you know, we moved the building, and so it has a raised basement. We brought the grade up to that for the most part, and then sunk the, you know, around the windows and that sort of thing. So if we built a slab, I hadn't even thought about a slab, but a slab, we could get that up to grade with the existing building. And that wouldn't be a problem with drainage. I mean, I don't know those kinds of things.
Yeah, no. If you get the proper designer in there with you, no, it's not the only place. You know, it's in a lot of cases with zero step entry, the only you have to think about how am I going to drain the water from, like say, from the sides of a sidewalk. You know, they're coming up to zero grade, so. You know, there's a lot of sources designed, and most designers and architects, builders know how to alleviate, you know, your concerns on that, to shed the water away. So, you know, because you want at least 8 inches of space between the house and the soil, you know, the siding and the soil. So, you know, when you think about, okay, zero step, now I don't have any. But, you know, there are those little transition areas, and there's a lot of ways to take care of that. But that's, you know, that would, you know, look at a frost-free slab. They call them shallow frost-free slabs. And they don't excavate, you know, very deep, sometimes only 18 inches. There's a lot of ways to cut costs in that part too. And you could go with a radiant floor slab. A lot of people like that comfort, especially as they get older. So there's a lot of new things, like Mary said, that changes every day. You know, just do a lot of research.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for your call. And we had a caller, Marilyn from Mount Vernon, and she wanted to talk about closet space for people as they age. She said she spent some time in her sister's condo, which was designed with universal design in mind, and was really impressed. She said lower bars for hanging clothes, folding closet doors, shelving on one entire wall. Mary, it sounds like there are a lot of great innovations that go beyond the just can I fit through this door, can I get in the shower? Give us a kind of some insight into the larger world of universal design.
Well, that's a great suggestion on the closets. It's having all those different options inside really make your life easier in the long run for any age to have those great storage spaces. I think one thing to think about is to have, let's say you have shelving or rod hanging space on both sides of the closet. You need to plan a door that's wide enough to access that closet. And also you need to have a aisle wide enough so that you can turn around inside the closet too, if you ever needed to use a wheelchair. So don't make it too narrow, I guess would be the thing I'm thinking about. And mentioning closets makes me think of one other thing to get back to the stair rails or stair lifts for a moment. smart people are planning closet space in their new homes that they could later convert to an elevator if they needed to have access to the second floor. So that would be another thing to think about when you're planning closets in the future.
Yeah, interesting. All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about universal design this hour, although you can ask questions about your other home improvement projects as well. With me, Mary Yearns, Professor Emeritus. She also served as an extension housing specialist at Iowa State University for many years. And with us also, Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert. They're here to answer your questions, 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, and we're focusing this conversation on universal design and aging in place. Mary Yearns is also with us. She is a professor emeritus with Iowa State University and also served as an extension housing specialist at ISU for many years. And you are welcome to join the conversation as well with your questions and comments. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have this comment from a very good friend of yours, Bill, Kevin Nordmeyer, who's been on the show in the past. But he says, thank you for this program. I live in a 1913 home and it sits 3 feet above the ground, as typical homes do, with all the bedrooms upstairs. When we bought the home 20 years ago, we were young and invincible. I now have MS and I'm going through all of these issues you discuss. One thing I'm doing is evaluating all of the needs your guests are describing and determining if it makes sense for me to stay in this home or to move to a new home. I don't really want to move, but I may have to. And Kevin brings up such an important issue, which is a lot of us think about aging in place and think that these issues are far in the future, but many of us have to deal with them earlier than we would like. Right, Mary?
Absolutely.
Right. You know, one thing that, you know, sometimes we don't think about either is, you know, once, you know, our time is finished with this particular house, you know, what will happen to it to the next, you know, generation or the next few generations? Mary and Lois Warmey from Iowa State and students from Iowa State University helped us do a home for someone that was going to live in the home, but she passed away before it was finished. But that particular home had, you know, had an elevator going to the lower level where her children were going to be living, and but yet she had her own, you know, space upstairs, bedroom, you know, zero step entry, showers, and closets, just like Mary was describing. But then the elevator at the time, we didn't feel was very, really very expensive compared to, you know, to what you were getting out of it. And then, you know, after she passed away, now there's three or four, sometimes five people, you know, with disabilities that are living in the home, and you know. And all of that, all of those things were in the home, gave them a place to, basically be a family themselves. One of the other things was, I know we haven't mentioned yet, was flooring. And you know, a lot of times some of the people have respiratory weaknesses. And so, you know, trying to stay away from carpet and looking at tile or solid mm-hmm. flooring. But one of the things I wanted to bring up was we have had some issues with people that maybe, you know, they're a little bit heavier. Now that they're in a chair, you know, they don't get the exercise, and some of the chairs have such tiny wheels. We've had some problems with some of the manufactured floorings at the joints breaking when the wheel goes parallel to the seams. And so other people that are walking around maybe mm-hmm. in their stocking feet are getting slivers and things like that. So, you know, really look at some very durable type flooring, especially something with lower zero VOCs and volatile organic compounds. But ceramic tile, we ended up putting ceramic tile and solid 3/4-inch thick wood flooring in that particular home to keep down the dust and make it basically a lifetime floor.
I can certainly identify with older homes. I grew up on a family farm with a house that was built in 1909, a big six-bedroom house. And incidentally, my husband and I and other family members have been restoring that house in the last 5 years. But when I lived there as a teenager, my brother had a severe one of my brothers had a severe disability and was in a wheelchair. And so we found that the older home worked pretty well. We had wider doors already in the house that the wheelchair would go through. And the solution on getting my brother from a vehicle up into the house, because the house, the first floor was at least 2 feet off the ground, was to build a deck and then have a way to a paved way next to the deck to drive next to the deck and have my brother in a wheelchair in a van and then unfold the lift onto the deck. And that worked. That was a fairly low cost way to get accessibility in the home and not have to take the wheelchair from the van down into a muddy yard and then back up again on a ramp or something like that. So we found this platform was a good way to make the transfer.
Well, and of course, ramps are also another possibility that, that people can install on their homes if lowering the floor for a zero-step entry is difficult as well. Sonia is on the line in Iowa City. Hello, Sonia.
Hello. Well, on that topic, a ramp wasn't what we wanted to do, but we had to replace our front steps. And I insisted that they were 16 inches wide and 6 or so inches high, not more, because most men have feet of 12 inches, and many, many steps are made standardly 12 inches, which are absolutely ridiculous. And going down to a laundry, you know, in the basement on narrow steps was just not on. I moved my laundry. but laundry steps are always narrow, and really, having wide steps makes a huge amount of difference. And I think you could probably even get a stroller. We have had strollers come up these wide steps. You know, you pull them one step at a time. But at least 16 inches is wide enough to get some wheels, you know, up. And it may well be that you can do a wheelchair that way, too. I don't know. I understand that that is a relevant thing. And wide doorways and guardrails and all those things are, of course, terribly important.
But making anyway, the steps wider and a little and a little lower as well has really made a difference. And Mary, I mean, people have to make adjustments that, that work for them, right?
Absolutely. Every remodeling situation is different and challenging. I think my first preference on steps, I like the Sonia's idea about the low rise wide tread step idea. That will work for many people. It would work only in an emergency for a wheelchair. It would be very difficult to do that, to get a wheelchair in and out. And I would suggest thinking about an earth berm with paving a sidewalk on top of that to get up the 2 or 3 feet that you need to get.
All right. Instead of thinking about a ramp, but really building it up.
Right. And there's some lovely examples on the Iowa State University campus of they took an late 1800s home just south of Curtis Hall, and the steps remain on the front of the building, but from the side they cut out a section of the railing and created an earth berm with a sidewalk on top of that to get access to the porch floor, the entryway. And it's a lovely addition that no one even thinks about. It has invisible features because it's just such a part of the landscaping and lovely flowers around it.
Nice.
And it doesn't look like a ramp. And many people with disabilities do object to having a ramp on the front of their home because it sort of marks them as a target. So that's another reason not to use a ramp.
Right. Interesting. Sonia, thank you so much for your call. Hardy is on the line next on the east side of Des Moines. Hello, Hardy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a 1915 to 1918 Craftsman house, two bedrooms in the back, you know, and We live on a lovely street, sycamores. There's a hill out the front, so there's four to 5 feet out the front, and the front lawn slopes away. The side door from the kitchen, there's two or three steps down. You know, so we've got a lot of design constraints, but we would sure like to be able to, you know, the phrase age in place really hits home. We would sure like to be able to stay here, but where can we go for design ideas? What are there magazines for, what other than just hiring an architect?
Well, there are some of the first resources that come to mind are some AARP publications online. If you wanted to contact me separately, I'd be happy to give you a list of references that would be very good to help you think through the process.
All right, Hardy, why don't you stay on the line? We'll take down your number and we can pass that along to Mary, all right?
That would be great. Thanks
all right. Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call. And next up, let's go to Claudette in Ellsworth. Hello, Claudette.
Good morning.
Hi there. What would you like to talk about?
I'm commenting on kitchens. We live in a new home, and Bill McNally has been here. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
And we have done some things with our kitchen. I have some back issues, and a freestanding stove doesn't work, bending down and getting things out. And we've noticed in a lot of the retirement homes that we have gone and looked at villages and so on, they all have a freestanding stove with the microwave above. And the residents tell us, we all buy a microwave to sit on the counter because we can't reach up and lift things out. And then the stove is an issue. So we put in a wall oven, and my bottom rack is the same height as my countertop. So you stand there, you take it out, and it goes right to the counter.
That's great.
Those are two things that we are, because we're thinking about where do we go from here. And in the next kitchen, we'll have a wall oven, and the microwave will be on the counter for easier access, just for mobility purposes. And there's nothing worse or more frightening than to be lifting that hot dish and feeling your strength wane, and am I going to get it to the counter before I drop it?
Well, that's a very real worry, because my neighbor across the street, who has difficulty grasping with his hands, had a microwave above the range, and he tried to pull the hot dish out of the oven, and he spilled all of this hot food over his front and got some serious burns. So it is a very real concern to have a microwave above the range.
Well, Claudette, thank you so much for your call. And a lot of us develop difficulty with grasping as we age for a variety of reasons. Is that something else we should think about just throughout our home, making sure that we have doorknobs we can open, that kind of thing?
Sure. Lever handles on doors, single lever faucets, or even electronic faucets are some things that come to mind. And on kitchen cabinets, loop handles instead of a little knob or an indentation under the bottom of the cabinet door that you would need to have a strong grip to be able to pull and open the drawer or the door.
All right. We had this comment saying, I wonder whether your guests would comment on the idea that if counters, fixtures, et cetera, are made low, that they are accessible to everyone. Too low is certainly better than out of reach. But as a male in the 99th height percentile, I find the notion that making things low makes them usable by everyone to be irksome. And we talked about this earlier. You have to make your home work for you. But as we were just talking about, that bending over can be extremely difficult as you get older. So if you're in a higher height percentile, you want to think about different things, right?
Absolutely. But I would say, as a basic rule of thumb, to have two different heights of counters in your kitchen. One place that you could sit down to work. If you were going to be chopping vegetables for an hour or two, it would be nice to sit down rather than standing up. And then a higher level counter. And certainly, if you're living in your own home, why not make it the height that works for you, that you don't have to bend over? If you're taller, go for it. Make your counter taller so it's a comfortable height.
Well, and this
they're just,
is
they're just like sawhorses. You know, every carpenter has a different height sawhorse made for their comfortable height. And for some reason, we haven't done that in houses.
No, and my my sink's too low. My back aches, and I'm only in my 40s.
Yeah.
So here's a question from Judy in Cedar Rapids. She says, I'm 65 and looking for advice on how to do a universal design remodel to my two-story traditional colonial home built in 1994. All bedrooms are upstairs with only a small half bath on the lower level. Who would I contact to get an evaluation or suggestions on remodeling? And that returns to the question that Hardy was asking. But if people want more information about this, Mary, where do they go?
Well, a local architect or designer who specializes in universal design would be a good place. Not everyone is, not all architects are familiar with universal design or have experience. So I would start with, if Judy wants to contact me, I can start, give her some references and some books to look at, some articles to look at to start with.
But if you're looking for somebody in your local area, you want to ask a lot of questions, it
Absolutely.
Sounds like.
And ask for to see some of their work, what they've done for it, universal design. I just visited a retirement community in the last couple of weeks and was so disappointed to see some major flaws in design that I wished I wasn't seeing. And so just because it's touted as being for older people doesn't mean they've done a sensitive job of designing for older people.
Okay. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about changing our homes. When you look around your home and you are looking at some of these remodels, which some of them are pretty extensive, do you also have to think, okay, is this worth it to me? Moving is not the end of the world, right?
Right. Each person's situation will be different. If you live on a farm, it's more challenging, I think, to move to town and give up those things. So it certainly depends on your individual situation and what kind of resources you have available and how much money you're willing to spend.
And Bill, before we end the hour, you know, from your experience, if there was one change that people could make to their home, what would it be?
The zero-step entry, if there's any way possible, you know, to have those steps eliminated, you know, like doing the berm. The only problem we've ever seen with some of the zero-step berms is they don't put the proper time into getting the correct soil and drainage underneath the sidewalks. And in this time of the year, they tend to lift, you know, with the frost. And here you want a zero-step entry, and the sidewalk lifts 2 inches.
Right.
So that, you know, just have the right people involved in the project. Do your research.
All right. Make sure to get it done right. Thank you so much. Bill McAnally, our home improvement expert, he'll be back again next month. And Mary Yearns, thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Yearns is a professor emeritus and served as an extension housing specialist at Iowa State University for many years. She now owns a consulting business and specializes in universal design. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.